Jennifer, can you tell me about your novel, The Last Wind Witch?
Yes. So The Last Wind Witch is an upper middle grade epic fantasy, and it's about a young hedge witch's apprentice named Brita, who lives in a small village called Oak Hollow. She's busy trying to control her fickle magic. It never quite works the way she intends. And so she feels really guilty about that. And then one morning she sees a herd of mythical storm horses and she gets drawn into this dangerous adventure. She accidentally catches the attention of a wicked and powerful queen. Ooh. And then she ends up running from a queen's huntsman and his pack of sinister hounds. She has to evade crow spies and she starts making new friends. And along this journey, she discovers the truth of her past and finds out her own powers, kind of understands why her magic wasn't working the way she thought it should, and she figures out how to bring balance and peace back to the realm. Oh. It explores themes of like self-discovery, honor, the balance of power, and how corruption can have far-reaching ripples. Mm. It deals with climate change, but mostly I wanted to write about courage and hope, magic and friendship. I just wanted it to be a really immersive, like, magical adventure. So I kind of wrote it to entertain myself, honestly. I put in all the things I love, you know, really yes. rich settings and magical animals and this very fierce girl who has a lot of doubt but learns to overcome that. So, I hope it will be a fun read for kids.
I love it. I mean, I think that's what we all should be doing. We should all be writing things that we just really love, because then I feel like the passion really comes through in the story, right?
I hope so. I just had so much fun writing it. And I feel like that carries you through, because the process can be sort of difficult. And you have to go through it so many times, but I loved the stories so much that I really enjoyed even the hard, kind of tedious aspects of the process. I really had such a great time, and I almost felt sort of guilty and selfish, because a lot of times advice will say, write for your audience. And I was like, oops, because I sort of wrote for myself first, but
never feel guilty about that. I mean, I feel like writing for yourself first is a part of the process, and you know, there will inevitably be people out there who love it as well, right? Like, there is an audience who love the same things you do, but yeah, writing for yourself is so fun.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, I'm, you know, so excited, and I'm sure you're so excited to have this book come out into the world. So tell me a little bit about your journey to this point, to having your book be published.
Okay, well, parts of the journey have been very straightforward and have fallen into place so much easier than I expected. And of course, other parts are sort of a twisting path. So I guess I should say I have always been obsessed with books, and I always enjoyed making up stories. I used to write stories for my siblings when I was younger. My grandmother showed me how to staple paper together and make your own little book. And yes. from that point on, I was like, this is the best. And so I would like write books for my mom. And I grew up wanting to put stories onto paper. But at some point over the course of my school years, I guess I sort of absorbed the idea that that wasn't very practical. And I think I was a very shy kid. I'm still very shy and reserved. And the idea of like having to share my imagination with people became really scary to me. And I always had teachers pushing me like, you should write for these contests and you should share your stories and you should read your stories out loud. Ooh. And oh my gosh, for a shy kid, like, that's a horrible experience.
Yeah, that's hard.
And so I just kind of pushed that that aside. I had other interests. I was very passionate about ballet and horses, and I had a lot of interests. And so over the years I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm good at writing essay papers, that's great, but I didn't really and truly think about writing as a career. My parents were telling me, oh, you know, you have to choose something practical. And so when I went to college, I actually thought I was going to be a veterinarian. And prior to that time, I'd worked in animal hospitals and I had volunteered at the Humane Society. And I thought, my career is set, my course in life is well established. And then I started working for a pathologist, a veterinary pathologist who was doing research on diseases in goats. And it was a horrible experience. I won't go into details. I will just say that it proved to me that veterinary medicine was not the career for me. And then I was sort of at loose ends because I already had several semesters worth of classes under my belt, thinking that that would be my path. And one of my professors had happened to tell me, "You are such a great writer. I would hate to see you waste that talent or stop writing. Like, you should find a way, whether you're publishing academic papers or something, you should keep writing." And so that kind of stuck in the back of my head. And I thought, well, when I was a kid, I loved writing stories. But okay, so writing stories maybe isn't practical. I'll be a journalist. So I switched my major to journalism. And I thought, okay, this is the path for me. It's practical. I'm going to make a living from writing. It's going to be great. Well, the first course, it was sort of an internship slash a college course. We actually had to write papers for the town newspaper. And so I was covering like town hall meetings and school board disputes. And, you know, there's so many restrictions. You have to follow very strict style guides, and you have to follow, you know, there were so many inches of space that your column could take up. And I found it horribly tedious. And I was like, man, writing other people's stories is not nearly as fun as making up my own stories. This is, I mean, I have so much respect for journalists. I just have to say, to write under those deadline pressures and, you know, to be objective and to be searching for the truth when you're kind of just in the mire of all of the tedium. I have so much respect for journalists, and I quickly learned that I'm not capable of that very well at all. So all of this, I met the man who would become my husband, who was in the College of Agriculture. And at this time, I had so many classes in science and animal science, and I also had these journalism classes, and I was like, what in the world can I do with all of these classes and still graduate in a reasonable time frame? Like, I have, there's nothing connecting these things. And he was like, well, actually, this college offers a degree in agricultural journalism. Oh. So you can combine all of your animal science classes with your writing classes and be done. And I was like, perfect. That's what I'm going to do. So I graduated, still not really knowing what I was going to do with my life, but he bought me a horse as a wedding gift, and I was helping him on the farm. I ended up having two babies pretty close together within a couple of years of us getting married. And so for a while, that just took up all my time and energy. And then I started adopting wild horses. And it was such an amazing experience, but I couldn't find a lot of support for new Mustang adopters. And so I started writing articles, and they started getting published. And then that branched out. I started writing some more freelance stuff. I started doing freelance editing. My kids started school, and I had a little more time, so I started writing short fiction. Some friends that I had been exchanging, you know, various notes back and forth to, we talked about writing. They were like, you really should start entering those in some contests, or, you know, submit them to some magazines. And of course, this was back in the early 2000s, mid 2000s. So I feel like there was a lot more market for short fiction. So I started doing that mostly just to keep my mind occupied. We live in a very small town, very rural area. There weren't a lot of job opportunities anyway. And so I was like, well, you know, selling a story here and there, doing some freelance editing, like, that's practical. I'm making some money. But I still had the itch to, like, write fiction, even though in my head I was like, well, that's not very practical. The odds are against you, right? You just know that, you know, it's kind of a long shot. But I started going through some health things, and I thought, you know, now is the time. If I don't do it now, I'll never know. So I'm just going to write a novel, see what happens. So my first novel was actually an adult contemporary fantasy. And and through all of this, I had started researching publishing. Just what does the process look like? How do you go about finding an agent? What are the steps? What do I need to know? So I wrote this book, and I had in my head that I was going to query 35 agents. That just seemed like a reasonable amount. And I thought, okay, I'll just see what happens. At the end of that stretch, I'll either figure out that this isn't for me, that I'm not good enough, or I'll decide that this is something I really want to be serious about. And I should mention, it took me years to write that novel, because I had so many, you know, there were projects I would start and I would finish them, or I would start and then I would throw everything out. So, I mean, this was a very long process. I'm a late bloomer. So anyway, I started querying that first book and I got a great response. But all of the agents told me there's no market for this. If you want this to be traditionally published, we just can't sell it right now. There's no market for it. And I was like, oh, okay, at least I'm being told encouraging things. Like I got a lot of requests for the full manuscript. I got a lot of personal rejections telling me how much they loved the story. They loved my writing. They just couldn't market it. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm not deluding myself. I'm not convincing myself that I have a skill that I really don't. Like, you know, people are enjoying what I'm writing, so I'll try again. And while I was kind of waiting, you know, it can be a very long process because you send out queries and then you have to wait weeks to hear back. So while I was kind of waiting on that book, just to entertain myself, I started writing The Last Wind Witch, which at the time was called Three Feathers. I was going through kind of some health problems. My father-in-law passed away, and he was my husband's farm partner, so he was very central to our lives. And it was just a rough time. I needed something to get my mind off of all of this. Yeah. And I just started writing this magical adventure about this brave girl who can overcome all of these doubts she has, and her magic isn't quite what she thought it should be, but she finds a new power. And it made me so happy. Sitting down at my computer to write that story just filled me with joy. But again, I mentioned it, I felt so guilty, like writing for myself, that I didn't take the story seriously. I thought, well, you know, this is just kind of a fun story. I might share it with my nieces and nephews. Like, this is not anything serious. I didn't sit down meaning to write this book. I just did it to keep myself occupied. But I sent her a couple chapters and she said, you know, I think that this is something special. She said, I really think that you should consider querying this. So I sat down and I started researching agents that represented children's fiction, because my previous effort, I had been focusing mostly on adult fantasy. And I made a list of, you know, which agents I thought would be a good fit. And I thought, okay, right before Halloween, I sent out 6 queries. I thought, we'll just see what happens. It's going to be weeks before I hear back. It'll be after Christmas, no problem. And I got 5 responses back within a couple of days asking to read the full manuscript. And I was like, uh-oh, this has happened a lot faster than I expected. So anyway, within a couple of weeks, I had signed with my number one dream agent, and it was just a whirlwind. I could not believe that things just fell into place. It just felt so right. And our phone conversation, she was so enthusiastic. And I just knew that she was somebody I really wanted to work with. And then we polished it up, did, I think, 1 round of edits. And then I kind of read through it and made sure it was what I wanted it to be before she put it on sub. And it sold at auction just a couple of months later. So it was, I mean, it all happened so much faster than I expected. I never really had time to sit down and absorb what was going on. And I still sort of feel like that's been, you know, a couple of years, because it takes so long for it to go through. You know, then I did edits with my editor and everything. So it took so long. And yet I still feel like, I can't believe this is really happening. Mm-hmm. Every time I see a picture of the cover or hear somebody talk about it, I just get the flutter in my chest, like, can that really be happening? It's too good to be true. So, I guess I just decided I would go for it. And it worked out. I feel like it was maybe the right story at the right time. And I feel like all of the kind of wrong I took and trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life just put me in a place where I could be like, okay, this is what I'm going to focus on. I have all of these life experiences and all of these other interests that can filter into my fiction. And I think maybe this is just a case of the right time, maybe. I don't know.
I think for sure a case of the right time. I mean, I think, you know, you took some interesting turns and tried some different things, like the veterinarian, you know, school and all of that, and journalism, like, you learned from all of it, you know, like, and I think throughout all of it. You wouldn't be where you are now. You know, wouldn't have thought of The Last Wind Witch when you did. I mean, isn't that strange when you look back on your life and you're like, all these weird turns I took actually ended up leading me right where I wanted to be.
Yes, exactly. And I think one of the things that I love about writing, and I know we can talk about this a little bit more later, I love being able to learn about things, and I have a lot of interests, and writing is the perfect way to incorporate some of those interests and some of those experiences into people. And my love of horses has informed everything that I write, and it's brought me a lot of opportunities that I wouldn't have had otherwise, and my Mustangs found them into this book as the storm horses. And so when I look back on my life, I can definitely see, like, yes, who I am has led to this story being what it is. And I look forward to the future. I think about other projects I want to work on, and it's like, man, I can't wait to see what other rabbit holes I go down. Yes. You know, trying to learn new things and what else I'm going to put into a story.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so excited and, you know, glad that you have found, you know, the love of it all and your dream agent. Isn't that the best when you sign with them and you've dreamed about them from afar, but then you realize, like, okay, no, actually, we're going to work super well together.
Yes, yes, for sure. It really is.
Well, that is wonderful. Well, looking back on, you know, your querying experience and, you know, having a little bit more experience in the publishing industry, what would maybe, like, your top tips be for authors who are querying right now?
Yeah, I thought a lot about that, because I think that there's sometimes some conflicting information, and I think that it's easy to get overwhelmed by how many agents are out there and how do you find a good fit. So I think my first piece of advice would be to know what you want from an agent. You know, some agents are very hands-on and editorial. Some agents are more hands-off and you sort of work independently. Some will be a little more informal and casual, whereas others might be a little more standoffish, or, you know, they just might have different boundaries for a professional relationship. And so I think it's really helpful to sit down and sort of have an idea in your head of what a good working relationship would feel like to you. How do you want communication to go? What kind of a relationship or a partnership are you looking for? How much editorial input do you want from an agent? And then my second piece of advice would be to do your research, to really pay attention to agencies, what sales they're making, what authors they represent, to look at individual agents within that agency. And I would say, you know, don't be afraid to query a new agent, especially one that comes with an established agency to sort of support them.
Yes.
In the background. But I think it's really important to make sure that you're not querying somebody who can't be the best advocate for your particular project. You know, even the best agents aren't all going to be good fits for your particular book. And so I think it's really important to kind of winnow through the list of possible agents and figure out who is really going to be a good advocate for not just that one particular story, but for the kind of career that you want. I think I like to have sort of a long-term view. And one of the things I appreciate so much about my agent is that she knows I have a lot of stories I would like to tell, and some of them are middle grade, some of them are adult, and she is very open about goals for a long-term career. She's not just making a quick sale or making, you know, one book successful. She is really an advocate for my long-term ambitions, and I really, really appreciate that. And so I think that's also a good thing to have in mind. If you want to write different kinds of books, make sure that you are finding agents that are open to representing different things. Not that it's a deal breaker, because you could get another agent potentially for those other projects, but I knew that I wanted to do different things, and I wanted one agent to represent all of my work. And so that was kind of a priority for me. And then I would say, once you figure out who your, you know, best matches are, have a list of questions for them. So that if you do get to the point where you have a phone call or an offer of representation, you know, going into it, what are the things that you want to know? And so some of my questions were things like, you know, what did you connect with in this book? What would you like to see changed? You know, what's your plan for this book? Just some general things, but it really helped me have in my head how I was going to clarify the relationship I wanted with an agent. And then I would also say, and this is kind of personal, and this might not apply to all writers, but for me, sending out those queries was so scary. It really felt like putting my hand into a beehive waiting to get stung, but knowing that it was the only way I could get to the honey at the back, you know?
Yeah.
You just, you know you're going to get rejected. You know it's going to sting, but you have to make yourself persist, and you just have to have faith that at the end of the process, it will all be worth it. And so I had to like mentally gear myself up for that fear of rejection, because you know that there's going to be agents that don't connect with it. And I sort of had to give myself pep talks, and I had to celebrate every small success, even though my ultimate goal was to get an offer of representation. I knew that wasn't something I could control. I mean, you do the best you can, you polish your manuscript and you polish your query and you try to put yourself in the best position for success. But at the same time, that final result is out of your control. You don't know how somebody's going to connect to your book. You can't make them like it. So I really had to focus on the things I could control, and I had to celebrate every little positive sign of encouragement along the way. So I had like a little checklist for myself of how many queries I was going to send out. And when I hit that list, or when I, you know, could check off that number, I was like, okay, it doesn't matter whether or not this book gets representation. I did what I set out to do. I sent out this many queries. Or anytime I got a request for a full manuscript, I was like, wow, somebody is really curious about what I've done. I have managed to hook their interest. I'm going to give myself a new book, or I'm going to buy myself some fancy chocolate because yes, I did something pretty cool. Anytime I got a personal rejection, if they said, you know, something nice about my writing or something nice about this story, I copied it out and stuck it on my desk just as a sign like, yes, you're on the right path. You don't know how long it's going to take you to get where you want to go, but at least you know you're headed in the right direction. And that was really important to me, especially with that first book, because it's so hard. You don't know how many tries you're going to have to go through, how many rejections you're going to have to get. And after a while, it can just get, for me anyway, it just got really painful and discouraging, but it was something I knew I really wanted at that point, and so I was willing to keep trying. I just had to sort of motivate myself along the way. And so I would tell querying writers to persist, to hang in there, but also give yourself some grace and celebrate the small successes. Just celebrate the fact that you're sending out queries, because to have a finished book or a finished story that you are willing to share, that you have the courage to put out there, I think is a victory. So make sure that you take time to appreciate that and, you know, do something nice for yourself to celebrate that, because that in itself is a huge milestone. And I would also say, as far as persistence goes, I think you need to be persistent, but I would also tell writers to be flexible. And if you're sending out a query letter and you feel like you're not getting hits on it, you're not getting requests for more pages, then I think maybe it's a good sign that you should take a step or two back and maybe you rework your query. Maybe there's a different way that you can pitch your book that might hook somebody's attention. Or if you're sample pages, if you feel like you're not getting any requests for fulls, you know, maybe you need to look at your list of agents again. Maybe there are agents that might be a better fit, or maybe the market has shifted just a little bit and the agents that you thought would be a good fit aren't looking for that anymore. Maybe you need to widen your net a little bit, or maybe you need to go over those first couple pages and have another beta reader look and make sure that you're putting your best foot forward. And if you've done all of that, then sometimes it's just a waiting game. Sometimes it's just trying and trying and trying and trying. And my last piece of advice, and this is the piece that is super personal, and every writer is going to have a different threshold, but I would personally recommend that you have an end point in mind. So you can query the same project endlessly, hoping that you'll find an agent. Or you can say, okay, this project isn't getting me where I want to go. Maybe it's time for another project. And I think that for me, that was the point I got to with my first book, because I was getting good responses, but they were all telling me the same thing. This isn't right for the market. And I didn't want to rewrite it. I didn't want to turn it into something different just to try to fit the market, because that wouldn't have been true to the story. And in the meantime, I had this other story that I loved so much, and that was so much fun. And even though I wasn't sure that I was really going to take it serious, in a way, that was perfect, because I didn't put a lot of pressure or expectation on myself. I thought, well, I'll just send it out and see what happens, see how people respond. And it ended up being very lucky for me. But sometimes I think if I had stayed with the first book and just kept sending out queries, I would never be where I am right now, because I never would have given myself the chance to move on to the next project. And the first book, it's still in my desk drawer. I have ideas to go back and revisit it. The market changes all the time, you know, so that book isn't dead. It just was very clear to me that I had reached a dead end with it. And for me, that was when I had a list of 35, I ended up sending out 36 queries, actually, because a friend suggested somebody. But in my head, I thought, okay, 35 agents, that's a good number. It feels manageable to me. Those are like my top agents, the ones I think would be a really good fit. Of course, there are loads more good agents, but I had about 35 that I felt would be really, really perfect matches that I really wanted to work with. And once I got to the end of that list, I was like, okay, I've done everything I could for this book. It's time for me to just take a step back and to focus on something else. And I see some people, I think, that either give up too quickly, they get a few rejections, and then they're just done. And I see other people who will just query again and again and again. And again, this is a choice that every writer makes for themselves. I'm certainly not going to tell somebody to do it the way I did it, or, you know, what time they should give up. That's something you just have to sort of find for yourself. But yeah, I think it is maybe helpful to have a point, an end point in your mind. And once you reach that end point, you can just celebrate the success of doing what you set out to do, regardless of the ultimate outcome, because you really can't control whether or not you get an offer of representation. So if you've done everything you could and sent out as many queries as you had in mind, then you met your goal. And that was kind of how I approached it. Like, okay, I met my goal. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to do something else. And it turns out that the something else was the book that landed me an agent. So
I think that you shared so much great advice. I think having an ending point is so, you know, helpful. And continuing to work on something else while you're querying kind of helps give you an ending point too, right? Like once your next project is ready, okay, maybe stop querying the one you were and move on to the next one. And I also thought your first point about how, you know, you really want to make sure you're searching and you know what you want in an agent. I think that there can be so much excitement in, you know, in finding an agent that you might have the desire to just sign with the first person who offers you representation, regardless of if you guys would really work well together. But you want to make sure that it's a partnership that is going to go the long run. I mean, if that's, you know, what you have in mind for your career. But yeah, thank you for sharing those. I thought that is all definitely really sound advice for authors who are in the querying process right now. My next question for you is a two-parter. I'd love to know, for you, what is the hardest part of writing and what is the hardest part of being an author?
I really love this question because they really are two different jobs sometimes. And I hadn't completely appreciated that until I got the book deal, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, wait a minute. There's like this whole other list of expectations that comes along with being an author that, you know, isn't, you don't necessarily have to worry about those when you're just writing in your office and, you know, not really thinking about other people reading it. So I love this question. I think the hardest part of writing for me is probably just getting the first draft down. I love brainstorming stories, but I'm kind of a perfectionist. And unfortunately, with that perfectionism, I tend to procrastinate. And so for me, trying to write a first draft feels like pushing a snowball up a hill in the middle of summer. It's just this really insurmountable thing. I struggle. I can see the story in my head and I'll be really excited about it. And even when I'm having fun, like writing it, the idea of getting the whole draft down, it's just, that is a struggle for me. My my perfectionism makes me second guess things sometimes. And I just feel like that's probably one of the slowest parts of the process is that first draft.
Yeah.
I also struggle, I think, with major structural edits, like the very first two, because I like to tear into the story, and sometimes I'm moving things around, or sometimes I see things that I didn't know were going to be in, and I'm trying to weave them together, and it just feels like making a really big mess. And at that point, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm just breaking things. I don't know if I can really polish this up. I don't know if it's going to be what I want it to be. And so I feel a lot of frustration and doubt at that stage too. So I would say those are the two hardest. I love them, but they're also the two most difficult parts of writing for me. And then as far as being an author, and I feel bit of imposter syndrome answering this right now, because I feel like I'm still learning how to be an author. I don't really know that I have a lot of experience yet, and so I'm sure that as I learn, my answer might change. But for me right now, the hardest part is just knowing that other people are out there reading my book. That's one of the best parts, but it's also hard because I know logically not every book is going to connect with every reader, and I love that, really, because it means that there is a huge variety of stories out there for a huge variety of readers. But emotionally, I am really anxious about how people are going to respond to my book, and letting them see inside my imagination and share this story that brought me so much joy just makes me a little nervous, because yeah. I don't know how people are going to respond. And it feels very personal sharing something that I've written. Even though it's fiction, I made it up, it's still deeply personal to me. And I didn't, as excited as I am to share it, and as honored and privileged as I feel to have that opportunity, I didn't realize how scared I would also be to let people read it. So that has kind of been a surprising challenge. Not that I would just be, and I am, I'm really, really happy at the thought of this being a book and the thought of sharing it, but I hadn't completely anticipated how emotional that could also be. And I think the other hard part for me is just balancing expectations, because I am pretty shy and reserved, and I don't spend a lot of time on social media. So I'm not always sure. I see some people who are really great marketers and just very naturally charismatic and naturally social people. And I'm like, oh, that is never going to be me. I don't know how to market and promote like those authors do. That's just not going to be my career path. And I'm working on a second book, and I'm right in the middle of edits for that. And so trying to balance the time and the the emotional and the mental energy it requires to both write a book and also be promoting another book is a little bit of a challenge, and I'm still navigating that. I think every writer is probably going to find their own balance, and I'm still kind of learning what's going to be comfortable for me and what's going to be sustainable. But I think that's kind of a challenge that isn't often talked about out loud, because I'm so excited to be an author, and I'm so, so incredibly grateful for the opportunity that, I certainly don't intend to complain about it. It's a wonderful, wonderful position to be in, and it's a dream come true. It's just one of those kind of surprising things that now I'm like, oh, I need to learn how to actually do this. And people don't always talk about how it can feel getting a negative review, or what it feels like when, you just face little disappointments, or the uncertainty of whether people are going to like your book, and how's your second book going to come out, yeah. And writing on deadline, all of that. So yeah, that's a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, there's definitely lots of an uncertainty with that. And, I think your hardest part of writing first drafts can be so daunting, right? Like, especially if you've spent a year, 2 years, whatever, working on a project, revising, going over it again and again, and then you are starting something new and you're looking at the blank page and you're like, there's nothing here. Like, I have to write this whole book? Like, oh, I forgot about this part. That for me is definitely hard, for sure.
It's so true. I saw a writer, and I wish that I could remember who it was, but I saw a writer comment one time that writing a first draft felt like building a sand castle, but you have to create the sand first. Oh. And I was like, yes, that's the best metaphor. That's how it feels.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, oh, that's so much work. Because, you know, there is such, with revising, you have all the parts there and you're just figuring out like, oh, okay, I need to add something here or moving stuff around. And that can be so much better than figuring it all out from scratch, in my opinion.
I so agree. And I mean, it's funny because I love brainstorming, but going from like, I wish that I could go from brainstorming to like, a complete draft that I just have to polish up.
Yeah.
All the messy bits in between can be so tough.
It can be so tough. And I think too, you know, your hardest part on the author side of the promotion and all that other stuff that comes with it, you're not alone in that. I mean, you know, you go from doing such a solitary act of writing a book to then having to shout about it to the world constantly. Like, hey, my book's coming out in 6 months, 4 months, 2 months, like continuing to say it over and over again can, you know, be hard when you're more of an introverted person to begin with.
Yes, exactly. And there are so many great books out there that I feel sort of weird. Like, I was a reader long before I was a writer. And so I'm so excited about everybody else's books. I feel really weird talking about my own sometimes because I'm so thrilled to see all these books that I can't wait to read. And it's just a really interesting, it's an interesting position to be in. And I hadn't really anticipated what that would look like, you know?
Yes, it's definitely interesting, and I don't think you're alone in that at all. Well, let me flip this question. So instead of the hardest part, tell me the best part of being a writer and being an author for you.
Yeah, so there are so many things that I love about writing and about this job. And again, I am so incredibly grateful just to have the opportunity. I know that it was kind of a long shot, and I know that there are a lot of who are still trying to find their lucky break. And so every day I wake up and I feel such joy and such appreciation that I even get to do this. So even the hard parts, I still enjoy them. I enjoy the challenge of them because I love to write. I think my favorite part is just creating stories. Like I mentioned, I have a lot of interests, and to me, writing is the perfect excuse to always be learning something new. I mean, I love to research obscure things. I love researching strange periods of history. I love new experiences and thinking about, oh, this could fit into a story someday, or overhearing conversations. And it's like, man, I wonder what the backstory of those two people, and, oh, they could be a character in a story. It makes my life endlessly interesting, I think. And I think that for me, knowing that writing always provides a chance to learn, there's always something more that you can practice, there's always a chance to grow your skills. I love that. I love looking ahead and thinking, man, this is just the start of an ongoing adventure for me. You know, I'm constantly going to be pushing myself and trying to improve, and there are so many stories I want to tell. I think just for me, that's the best part. Another part of that is sharing them, is being able to take somebody along, even though that's also the hardest part. In a way, it's the best part because it makes the story feel real to me. Once it's on paper and somebody else has read it, it feels like that thing that I had just imagined suddenly becomes concrete and tangible. And that is a really amazing thing. There's magic in that, I think. And so thinking about my stories becoming real books is just incredible. That is terrifying, but also so exciting that I would say that is also one of the best things. And I don't know, I sort of this is kind of tongue-in-cheek, but another good thing I was telling somebody. Well, another best part about being an author is that my book addiction and my pen addiction are now tax deductible business expenses. So I have like an excuse to buy. I write with fountain pens. And I was telling my husband, like, hey, I'm getting ready to start a new project. I think I need to buy some new fountain pen ink. Oh, and he was like, yep, just so keep your receipt funny. And we'll deduct it on taxes. And I was like, man, it's so fun that my books are now a business expense.
Oh my gosh, that's the best. That's probably the best answer I've ever received to that question. Oh, I love it. Well, my next question, so when you are doing that like really difficult first draft, do you find yourself as more of a pantser, more of a planner, or do you fall somewhere in between?
Probably in between. So in my process, I usually start with an idea. It'll be an image or a concept or sometimes just like a certain feeling or an idea I want to explore. I'll start with that and brainstorm, like, how could this fit into a story? And then I sit down and I usually just start writing a couple exploratory chapters, usually like 3 to 5. And I am trying to hear the characters' voices and I'm trying to get a feel for the tone and texture of whatever this story wants to be, what the world might look like. And then after I get to around that 5th chapter, then I really need to figure out where I'm actually going. So at that point, I'll sit down and I'll make a really rough outline that's mostly just major plot points that I might want to hit, maybe some notes about character growth, development, what their desires are. I'll usually write some world-building notes, how all the pieces are supposed to fit together or how the world is going to shape what the characters do and how their actions might shape the world. But at this stage, that outline is really pretty vague. It'll just be a roadmap to kind of show me where I need to go next. And so then I'll go back and I will try to just write a linear draft. Along the way, I'll write little notes to myself. I keep sticky notes on my computer desk, and as I think of things, I just stick them around the computer. I also have notebooks. I do a lot of writing by hand, so I've got notebooks with, you know, all kinds of notes scribbled to myself. And then I sit down and I start typing out the first complete draft, and often I call it a zero draft because I feel like as I'm going, I am definitely exploring and finding new layers. I feel like I diverge from whatever outline so many times that I end up like rewriting new roadmaps as I go, because for me, there are so many elements of this story that evolve and grow as I get to know the characters better and as I feel my way into the world. So writing from a really static or very detailed outline right from the beginning, I think just doesn't come naturally to me. I feel like it would hamper my stories. But at the same time, I'm not very good at just sitting down and saying, okay, let's just see where we go. I feel like I need to have some kind of a roadmap. So my first drafts are sort of a combination where I'll jot down a couple of ideas that I want to be moving towards, but mostly I'm exploring. I don't actually write a detailed outline until I have the first completed draft done. And then I go back and I'll do like a reverse outline to look at what's actually on the page. And then I feel like I can get a much broader vision of where everything is, where there might be gaps or where the pacing might be off a little bit. And then I can revise based on that outline. So I feel like sometimes I kind of do it a little bit backwards.
You don't do it backwards. You do it exactly the way that works for you. I'm very similar too. I can't outline, like, I know some people do, and I love it. I love this question because we all do it so differently, and it's just fun to hear other people's processes and what works for them. And the people who can outline beforehand, like, kudos to you, right? But if I try and do it,
yes,
I, like, can't write. My brain is like, you already wrote the book because you wrote it down in an outline, so there's no work to be done here. But once I'm done with my first draft, I go through and I do a very detailed, like, chapter-by-chapter outline of all the scenes that happen and you know, the characters and all of that. So then And then I see it and I can start to see the holes afterwards. But yeah, I can't outline beforehand either.
Yes, and I'm so jealous of writers who can, because yes, it feels like that must be a much more efficient process, especially when you're writing on deadline, to be able to say, okay, here's the outline, here are the steps I need to get this story done. Like, I think that is amazing. And I have tried to teach myself how to work off of an outline. This story would just veer off the rails anyway. And I was like, okay, yeah. So my head just doesn't work this way, nope, unfortunately.
And you know what? I think, you know, we all realize what does work for us and what doesn't. And you just got to kind of roll with it at a certain point. The first book I ever wrote, I outlined it super hardcore because I just thought that that's the way you were supposed to do it, right? And it was the hardest experience of my life. And that book is a garbage fire that will never see the light of day. And then once I started to pants a little bit more and just, you know, plot with like the big ideas of where I wanted to go, it has come so much more naturally to me, which is good.
Yes, it is. Isn't it so interesting? I love talking about process with other writers because, like you said, we all have slightly different ways of doing things. And it is so interesting to me to think about how stories come to different people and the processes that work for them to get those stories translated on the page. It's so interesting.
It's very interesting. And, you know, I think the thing to remember for those people listening is, like, the way I do it isn't, you know, quote unquote, right. The way Jennifer does it isn't quote unquote, right, because there's no right way. The right way is the way you do it for you. And that's perfect.
Absolutely. And I also think, and this is something that I am slowly learning, I think that every book can sometimes require a slightly different process, yes, too, because I think some books are just going to flow a little easier than others, or some books are just going to require you to approach them in a different way.
Definitely.
So I'm trying to be open. I don't ever want to tell myself, okay, this has to be my process, because I think that that can also be limiting.
I think so too. Yeah, there's, I mean, the book I am revising right now, my process was a little bit different from the book I wrote right before it, which was more of a murder mystery. And I had to do a little bit more planning up front with that one because, you know, there's lots of stuff you have to take into account with that. But, you know, I changed my process for this one that I just drafted, and it's worked out really good. And you know, just giving yourself grace throughout the whole process and not, like, being upset at yourself or anything is really important.
Yes, I think so too. And I think accepting that your process is going to look different, or that your process might feel messy, if that's the way it works, then it's fine. It's not messy if it's getting you where you need to be. And it took me a long time to accept that, because I was like, man, after you are going through a rough draft and you have to do major structural edits, I wanted to be like, man, why couldn't I have done this right the first time? Mm-hmm. Well, there is no right the first time, because you're still trying to find your way into the story. And for my process, it's just the way it's going to be.
Definitely. I think that is so true. And, you know, let's move on to the next question, which is your revision process, which, too, kind of in line with this same, what we were just talking about, the, you know, writing as we're drafting, is so unique, too. But tell me a little bit about what you do to make sure your manuscript is where you want it to be before you send it off to your agent and your editors.
Yeah, so what I usually do is, after a draft is done, I try to let it sit for a couple of days at least.
Yeah.
When I'm on deadline, I don't have as much time as I would like. Ideally, my first book, I let it sit for a month before I went back and reread it. I don't have that time to do now, so I usually let it sit over a weekend, and then I'll sit down and I read through it with a notebook and highlighters and sticky notes, and I just make a list of questions that arise as I'm reading it, places where maybe I could put some more detail, or where the logic of the world doesn't feel very clear, or where a character's motivations might be a little murky. It's mostly just questions that I try to read it as I would if I were coming to it with completely fresh eyes. And I just keep a list of things that might arise to a reader, you know, any little issues. And I'm also, when I do that read through, I'm also looking for sort of emotional response. I'm looking for layers. I'm kind of seeing if things are woven together in a way that clicks in my own head. It's really hard to describe what I'm looking for when I read any book, but when I read my own. So after I have a list, and it's completely random. After I have a list of things I want to address, I start going back through, and I usually color code. So I'll have one color for characters, and I'll have another color for like world building logic stuff. And there's really no rhyme or reason. It's just whatever colors I feel like doing with that particular draft. And then I go through, and if there are major structural changes where I'm actually deleting scenes or I'm moving scenes around, I get out another notebook and I do it on paper first. I kind of like handwrite out new scenes, and I kind of handwrite a new outline for those pieces, because if I do it on the computer, I feel like it's too hard for me to keep everything in my head at once. I'm a super visual reader, and so I like to spread all my chapters out on the floor. I print them out, and then after I've gotten some new scenes in place, that's when I sit down and I do a really detailed outline for every chapter, and I will write down like the different plot points that happen in that chapter, different character things that happen in that chapter, any little, like anything that is a question to thread tension through the story, I'll make a note of that. Like, am I stretching it out too long? Am I being too unclear? Am I telling the reader too much up front when I could sort of weave it through later? All of that sort of stuff. I go chapter by chapter. And then I sit down and I open a new document on the computer and I start copying and pasting or just typing from new. And I know that this part of my process is not very efficient at all. A lot of writers I've talked to are like, why don't you? I don't, because I have this fear of making a mistake or of taking a wrong turn. And it's like, okay, if I have the master document, I can look at it as a complete thing. And then I open up a fresh document and I feel like, okay, I can make any changes I want. And if I don't like them, I can original. And I know that you can like save documents as other things. I fully realize this, but for me, I like having like a completely fresh start and being like, okay, this is the next draft. In my head, it feels like a fresh start. It's just a mental trick. I know it's ridiculous, makes no sense, but that's how I like to do it. And so then I'll usually do another draft where I'm just putting the big pieces together. And then before I send it off, I like to read through it one more time where I'm making sure all of the seams are hidden, you know, where it feels like a smooth reading experience. And I try to make sure that I've answered all of the questions I had with the first draft, make sure that the logic makes sense, make sure that there's a good, like a clear vision of the characters and what they're trying to accomplish, so that when I send it off, I feel like, okay, this is a good starting point. And then whenever my agent and my editor have feedback, I feel like they get a very clear idea of what I wanted to do with the story, because I know at that point it's not finalized. They're going to have many other editorial suggestions. Yeah. So at that point, I'm not looking for it to be perfect or polished or to feel done in my own head. I just want it to be as solid as it can be, so that when they do give me feedback, they're giving me feedback on the story that I want it to be, if that makes sense. You know, I don't want it to be so rough that they can't have a clear vision of where I was trying to go. It needs to be polished enough that they can say, okay, I see what you're trying to do. I see who these characters are. I understand the shape of the world. Here's how we can make it even better. So that's kind of the goal that I have in mind, is I just want it to be as true to the vision in my head as I can make it, so that when they read it, they can share a similar vision.
I love it. I mean, I think like the answers to this question, you know, are similar to just the writing style in general. Your revision process is very personal, but also could change based on, you know, the book that you're writing and what you feel it might need.
Yes, yes, for sure. And sometimes I have little tricks too. You know, there are some days where it feels harder than other days, or like right now I'm working on pretty intense revisions of my second book. And this is the book I wrote entirely on deadline. I sold it off of a synopsis. So it has been a struggle learning the story as people are sort of reading it with expectations. I'm approaching this book in a completely different way than I did with my previous novels. Mm-hmm. And so my revision process is also different. I feel like I haven't had as much time to just sort of meander and explore, I've had to be much more disciplined about getting the story down, finding the weaknesses, figuring out how to fix those weaknesses, and really clarifying my vision much quicker than I did with my other books. And so my revision process for this book has been a lot more intense than for my other books. And I've been tricking myself with like lots of post-it notes and like paper clips to mark particular sections that I want to move around and index cards. And I mean, I've pulled out all the stops. And I think that's why it's really helpful to talk to other writers about their writing and revision process, because you never know when you're going to want to try a new tool just to sort of kickstart your own process, or just to clarify, okay, yes, I know that my process is going to work like this. I just have to trust that that's my process. So yeah, I've learned so much with this other book, and it has definitely showed me where my revision process needed a little bit of extra help. I've gotten a lot of great ideas from other writers, particularly about like index cards and being able to shuffle them around visually before you even start your edits, just to clarify in your head how things are going to look. And, you know, just some of the ways that I approach brainstorming, and if there's a question and I'm not quite sure how to fix it, I know some writers will just put in brackets that they'll come back to it later. I can't do that, because then I know that there's a hole there and my mind will not let me work ahead. So I have to sit down and like think my way through every little question, make sure it's set before I can move on. And that's something I didn't necessarily know until I started this particular book. Maybe the next book will go much smoother. I have no idea.
Yeah, I think on your, what you were talking about with your revision process, I mean, there's so much. I love index cards and post-its, and, you know, I have all, I love visually seeing it in a different way than just on my computer. So I think as I revise, those are really helpful tools for me as well.
Yes. Yeah, I think it just, it can jumpstart thoughts and ideas in a new way. Yeah. When if I'm just sitting there staring at the computer screen, sometimes it's easy for my eyes to glaze over.
It is. I feel like I catch different things when it's printed out, or, you know, I see it in a different format for sure.
Yes, yes.
Well, the next thing, I would love for you to share something with me that your readers wouldn't necessarily know about you.
Okay. I don't know. I've got a couple sort of quirky things. I'm afraid of elevators. Oh, I don't know why.
They're terrifying.
I do not like elevators.
Yeah, they're terrifying. I used to work in property management with, you know, commercial, I managed commercial buildings, like office buildings and stuff, and so many elevator entrapments. Like, I'm scared of elevators, for sure.
I'm so glad I'm not alone. I have stress dreams about being in an elevator that's just falling, or that's just flying to some upper floor that I don't know where I'm going. So my choice is always to take the stairs. And when I was in college, I lived on the seventh floor of my dorm, and I took those stairs every single day except the day I moved in and the day I moved out, because I was not going to get in that little elevator and go up seven flights. I just couldn't do it.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, elevators are definitely scary. There have been many times where I'm in an elevator and I see the doors stay open too long, or they, like, something weird happens and I get off. I'm like, okay, I am not about to be trapped in this elevator.
Yes, exactly. Like, nope, not going to do it. And another thing that they might not know is that I have three cats. In fact, right now, I don't think you can hear them because I'm in the back of my room, but I've got my door shut so that they can't come in, because if I'm on the phone, they want to meow and purr and, you know, stick their paws all over whatever I'm doing. So, yeah, every book has been kind of managed by three cats.
I love that. Well, I feel like you told me a little bit about your love of writing already, so I'm going to move on to the last question, which is probably the hardest one, so I do apologize. I'd love to know what your favorite book is right now. This is not your favorite book of all time, just something you've read recently that, like, you want to tell all your friends about.
Yeah, I love this question. Because I love talking about books with people. And also, it is really hard to answer because I am a very big mood reader. So, like, I read widely, and what my favorite book is at any given day just depends on what I picked up. Right now, I've been on a nonfiction kick because I'm deep in edits, and it just seems like I'm wanting to, I don't know, read in a different way. So I've been reading like old nonfiction about random history things. And I recently read one by Deborah Blum called The Poison Squad that was about food additives in like the 18 and 1900s, which is a terrifying book. But I would really like to talk about, and I've been reading a bunch of ARCs from fellow debuts, and I love all of them. I couldn't pick one favorite because there are so many fantastic books coming up. But I decided that I wanted to answer this question actually with a couple of books that I think readers who like my book might also like these books, or vice versa. So one of them is called Cinders and Sparrows by Stephen Bachman. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. But it is such a charming upper middle grade book. It's about a girl. It's about witchcraft. It's about family secrets. It's got a little bit of creepiness to it, but it is, at the end, a really heartwarming story and a really fun magical adventure. Beautiful descriptions. I just feel like it has kind of a similar tone to The Last Wind Witch. Another one is Ava Evergreen by Julie Abe. It is also about a girl who is a witch and kind of learning how to use her powers. It feels like Kiki's Delivery Service. It's just that really charming, heartwarming, sweet story with characters that you just want to cheer for. It has a little flame fox, so it's also got some magical creatures in it. It's just a great adventure, and I think the sequel is coming out maybe this spring or summer. So that, I think, is a really fun book. And then the third one is Girl Who Drank the Moonlight, I think, by Kelly Barnhill, which is a little bit older, a little bit similar to The Last Wind Witch, because it's about magic and it has a thread of kind of creepy darkness, but at the end it's about hope and it's about friendship and loyalty and found family. And so I think that readers who like that book might also find things that they would like in The Last Wind Witch.
I love it. Thank you for those recommendations. Yeah, books that are similar to The Last Wind Witch, that's a good one for sure. It's always hard. And there's so many good ARCs and so many good books coming out this year. It's so hard to pick just one, right?
Yes, it really is. I'm super excited. I mean, every year brings a lot of great books, but I am so thrilled to see a lot of really fantastic, really, I think, intriguing and sort of immersive stories coming out in 21. I'm really excited.
Yes, it will be super wonderful. Jennifer, thank you so much for chatting with me today and telling me all about your novel, The Last Wind Witch, and letting me and my listeners get to know you a little bit better.
Oh, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.